If you're following the liturgy during this liturgical novena in honor of Father Francis, you know that this is a very rich period. Almost every day there's a great saint, a great devotion, or something striking about it. Here we have today one of the most popular, most influential of the saints in the history of the world, Saint Francis of Assisi. Today's first Friday, so we have our devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Tomorrow's first Saturday. Tomorrow's also Feast of St. Faustina. Monday's Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. We just celebrated the Feast of St. Therese, one of the most popular of the Catholic saints. And it just seems that there's an abundance of reasons why we could consider this a wonderful time. But if you go out into the secular world and speak like that, they'll act as if you're speaking another language. What do you mean it's a wonderful time? This is a wonderful time. And maybe people would have heard of Francis. I mean, probably everyone in the world has heard something about St. Francis. But what they think about him is that he's a good guy, lived a simple life, and so he was good to the environment or something like that. They don't think of him as a radical Christian who dedicated himself to imitating Jesus Christ, following his way, and who was, in the later years, pierced with the wounds of Jesus Christ. That's not what people think about when they think about Francis of Assisi. And nobody's thinking about these other things I mentioned, First Friday or anything like that. What people are thinking about is political turmoil, war, devastating weather events all over the world, and this sort of thing. So this is why, as we saw yesterday, Jesus sends out missionaries into a world that is preoccupied with material things and temporal matters, and also preoccupied with bad news, and give it some good news, give it some light. Well, the address of Jesus continues in today's gospel, but instead of addressing the 72 disciples whom he is sending out, he gives this sharp warning to the towns that they're going to, or that Jesus has already been speaking in, that is Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, towns in the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. He says, woe to you, woe to you. You're not getting the light that is shining on you. Now, in this gospel, Jesus twice mentions two cities in Lebanon, Tyre and Sidon. Cities, especially Tyre, which have been in the news in the last 2 weeks. If you follow the international news, you know that the war, the Middle Eastern field of war, is no longer limited to Gaza. It's spreading around the border between northern Israel and southern Lebanon. In fact, I think just in the last day or two, Israeli troops have crossed the border into southern Lebanon. And for a couple of weeks, so maybe at least a week, they've been the Israelis have been bombing southern Lebanon and telling the Lebanese to flee to the north because they're going to come in and bomb the area. And Sidon is the southernmost of these two. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Tyre is a coastal city pretty far south in Lebanon. And Tyre has been surrounded by bombings. Sidon's just a little bit to the north, another coastal city, but it's also in the danger zone. And in fact, even go further north, go to Beirut, and you know that there have already been major explosions in Beirut. So I think what happens is, at least from this distance, people might see that some news about a war in Lebanon or something, but they don't pay that much attention. It's very hard to keep up with all the different news about armed conflicts. Ukraine, Gaza, Lebanon, Iran. And we have enough trouble here with the South China Sea. So how can we think about Tyre and Sidon? But Jesus' point here is that people miss the good news that's right on their doorstep and think about what's going on in other places as if That's more important. He's sent to Chorazin and Bethsaida. They're very little villages, really. But they saw Jesus doing marvels, doing mighty deeds. And it didn't affect them. In fact, they probably forgot about them. And this is a very natural tendency that we have, and something to be concerned about, that when God does something wonderful, we don't necessarily pay attention or notice, or we forget. And when something else comes along, well, then we'll just focus on that. So, as I say, God into the world, maybe people know who Francis of Assisi is, maybe, but they don't know that. They don't know St. Therese. They don't know Faustina. They don't know the mercy of God. People just don't know. Some of the greatest things that have happened. You talk about the power of the rosary, for example. People don't know it. They're not bad people. They just don't know. Look at what happens to Job. Job, we're getting to the near the end of the book. And in today's first reading, this selection from Job is God's answer to Job. Now, for chapter after chapter after chapter, Job and his friends have been rambling on and on and on about how things are, how good some things are, how bad some things are, but a lot of it is just words. After a while, if you read the book of Job, after a while it gets kind of repetitive. Even Job himself keeps saying the same thing. But here, in this passage, chapter 38, God answers. And he doesn't answer the questions Job is asking. He asks Job questions, as if to open Job's eyes to what's really going on, like the sunrise, like the rain, like the order of creation. Job, do you know what you're talking about? Do you know who runs the show here? That's kind of what God is doing. Are you so knowledgeable that you can tell what time the sun is going to rise, or tell the sun when to rise? Do you know what's going on in the depths of the ocean? Do you understand at all, Job, what I'm doing? And Job has to answer, actually, no, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing. I really don't have any right to say anything. I put my hand over my mouth. But you see what happens here. Job's eyes are opened. His ears are opened. He starts to see what God is up to, or at least recognize that what God is doing is far beyond his little concerns about his suffering. Now, it's pretty hard to say Job has little concerns, because his whole life has been destroyed. He's lost everything, his family, his wealth, his own health. Pretty hard to go up to him and say, Job, you know, that's nothing by comparison to what God is doing. But that's exactly what God says to him. Here, you're preoccupied with all your problems. Open your eyes to what is beyond you and submit yourself to God. It's a pretty strong response. It's not, God doesn't reach out and console him and say everything is fine. He says, no, you don't know what you're talking about. You're putting yourself in a position that doesn't belong to you. Get in your place, Job. That's what God says. And Job says, oh, you're right. Now, why does it work? Because it's a personal encounter with God. It's not just being told, get in your place. It's not a put down. It's enriching to know God. It's enlightening to meet him, hear his voice, even when what God says is challenging. So that's Job. But what Jesus' point here in the gospel is not only that there's great things in the sunrise and in the sunset and in the depths of the ocean, but right here in your midst, Capernaum, right in front of your eyes, wonderful things are being done. And you're not responding. So it's not a word of gentle encouragement. It's a challenge. If these great things had been done in Tyre and Sidon, being bombed right now, if these great things had been done in Sodom, they would have repented. They would have repented. So the statement is, well, then wake up and respond to the grace of the moment. We have a special privilege following the liturgy to be reminded again and again of the greatness of God, of his divine mercy, of his love, of his hidden goodness, hidden to our eyes most of the time. But we're reminded of it every day in the Eucharist. and the Word. So we have all the more responsibility to respond to it and also to become agents of His work in the world. Which brings us to today's saint, Saint Francis of Assisi. Saint Francis, who addressed some of the most difficult issues of poverty, sickness, leprosy, conflict with the Muslims, corruption of the church. I mean, he faced all these things, and he did it without any weapons, without any money, without any great testimonies. He didn't write any books. He did it by his personal witness as a Christian. It's extraordinary how much impact he had even during his own lifetime. And immeasurable, if you count from the 13th century up until today, it's immeasurable, the impact of Francis of Assisi on the church and on the world. You probably are very familiar with the prayer, the peace prayer of St. Francis. I don't know if he actually wrote this, but it's attributed to him. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Notice what's said here. It's not just, Lord, bring peace to the world. Lord, make things better. Here's my complaint. Answer my complaint. No, it's a request to be part of the solution. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. You see what Francis is doing here? Let me be part of what you're doing, Lord, not just me complaining about my sufferings or complaining about problems in the world and demanding that God do things differently. No, Lord, let me be part of the solution and not just part of the problem. Let me be an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, let me sow pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. It's a beautiful prayer because it unites us with God's will, not only for the world, but for us. God does want us to be instruments of faith, hope, light, and joy. And then the prayer continues. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. It's not about me. It's about what you want to give to others. That I may not so much seek to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. I already am loved, Francis would tell us. I already am loved. So I don't have to worry about being loved. Make me an instrument of your love. Let me be more concerned about being an agent of love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. This is God's way, and He's revealed it to us in Jesus Christ, that it's in giving that we receive, that it's in pardoning that we are pardoned, that when we are merciful, we gain the benefit of God's mercy, that when we die to ourselves, the life of God, which is much greater than our own life, reigns in us and in the world. So this is St. Francis reminding us, it's the scriptures reminding us, not to be preoccupied with ourselves or with what we think has to change, but to be submitted to God in such a way that we become agents of His change. St. Francis of Assisi, pray for us.